Hi, this is Pastor Rob Summerall here, lead teaching pastor at Crossroads Baptist Church. You know, here at Crossroads, we have been blessed with a number of men who are very capable preachers of God's Word. Some of them are pastors who've either retired or they've moved on from different seasons of ministry, and they find themselves at Crossroads while they're resting and recovering. Other men are young men who aspire to ministry one day where they will serve the Lord, either as church planters or missionaries or lead teaching pastors. We came up with this idea of using their gifts and talents in a, what we call a preaching summit. We gave each one of them an assigned text from the book of James and a roughly 20-minute time spot where they could present the Word of God to us. We crammed 9 sermons into 5 different sessions, and boy, can I tell you, our church was blessed by this. The audio that follows this is one of the messages from that preaching summit. We hope that it will bless you in the same way that it's blessed us. We hope that you'll pray for these men, that God will use them in the days ahead. And listen, if you're looking for a place to worship, be sure to tune in after this sermon where you can find out more about how you can connect with Crossroads Baptist Church here in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. God bless you.
I just want to be transparent. I want us to be about Jesus, about His Word, His transforming power from His Word, and not myself. And that is my prayer. Would you pray with me? Father God, Lord, speak as You have already spoken. And Lord, You promise Your Word will not return void. And we just look to that hope and that promise, that truth tonight. Lord, use me. I am nothing. I've done nothing to deserve to get to preach Your truth. Just use me, Lord. We're here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, in case you don't know, I am Patrick. I'm the family and missions pastor here at Crossroads. And I have this secret love, maybe not so secret, but I mean, I have an absolute love for 3 chords and the truth. Can I get an amen? Is there anybody else out there that just loves them, some music? Especially if it's the right chords and the right words. See if you know this one. I went skydiving. I went Rocky Mountain climbing. I went 2.7 seconds on a... I loved deeper, I spoke sweeter, I gave forgiveness, I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to... Amen, man. We take time for granted. These 3 chords and the truth show us that the world understands this concept, that time is short and we squander it. And all of this fact is true, it's only a small part of the truth. We have the whole truth. The world sees part of it. They recognize part of it. But there is a whole truth about time. There is a very significant, much more significant truth about time than is captured in those 3 chords and a few lines. I mean, it is our pleasure to get to dive in to James and see what that's about. It's my exciting pleasure to see what James chapter 4, starting in verse 13, says about time. If you would, turn with me there. We're going to start in verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him... it is sin. God bless the reading of His Word. Verse 13. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Point number one, time doesn't belong to us. Time doesn't belong to us even though we act like it. We make plans. We set up our calendar. We all too often, I mean, we even do it without thinking. We pull out our calendar. Maybe we tell Siri. Maybe we enter it in real quick. We put dates in our lives and schedule over and over and over again. I was just talking with Brother Rob on Monday in our staff meeting, and he was kind of fussing. He said, man, we've got to get the church calendar synced up right, because if it's not on my calendar, it's not happening. It doesn't exist. I live by my calendar. Who else can second that? Right? Oh, yeah, all the hands, the mama's hands go up. The dads are going on my mama's calendar, right? That's kind of the truth for us. Man, this is a scary fact, because the truth of the matter is, if we look at our calendar and read our calendar, in so many ways we can read our heart. In so many ways we can see who wills and controls our life. A long time ago, I had an amazing Sunday school teacher. Dude was incredible. He grew my theology. He grew me as a disciple. Like, I mean, I just could never have imagined. More than anybody ever has. By the way, side note, are you growing somebody's theology? Are you discipling someone? It's because of someone like that that I'm here today. Nick looked at me one day. I walked in to Sunday school. I was a college student. I walked in, and he saw that I had a new pair of shoes on. I was proud of my new kicks. In fact, I think I even said, hey, man, look at my new shoes. I'm jacked about my new shoes. Nick looked at me and said, who told you you could buy those? I said, what? He said, did God give you permission to buy those? I said, what do you mean, did God give you permission? He said, congratulations, today's lesson is on tithing. Turn to, I'm not joking, that was Nick, okay? And in that lesson, like, dude, just off the cuff, boom, here we go. You spent money, we're going to talk about tithing. In that lesson, he looked at me and straight up said, the money's not yours, man. It's God's. Every bit of it is God's. You just get to hold it. Did you ask God if you could spend it like that? Were you considering that it's not yours, that it's God's? Man, I know you got the paycheck, but he gave you the talents to get the paycheck. Man, he just drilled me. It was insane. I'm here to tell you. And he looked at me too, and he said, pull out your ledger. Believe it or not, I had one. I'm showing my age a little bit. Who remembers ledgers, right? Yeah, praise God, Nancy. She goes, I still have one, belligerently. I still have one. Good for you. Here's the deal. A ledger is how we used to keep track of our bills. It was kind of like our planner for our money. And he said, pull out your ledger. I'll tell you where your heart's at. Whoo, it was rough. Same thing goes for our calendar. The same thing goes for our time. What does your calendar say about you? James just said, what? He said, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. We're going to come back to it. We're going to come back to 14, jump down to 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Our second point is this: time belongs to the Lord. Our first point is, time doesn't belong to us, even though we act like it. Our second point is, time belongs to the Lord and we should steward it well. God is creator. He's infinite. Time does not bind him like it binds us. Think about time for just a second. Time. When does it end? Man, it goes on forever. That's an awesome promise, an awesome hope. We aren't going to die. It just goes, and we get to ride that train. Now let's blow our minds. Guess what? It never started. It goes that way. Forever. And all the way there, whatever that means, and all the way there, whatever that means, is what? Is creator. Is God. Who owns it. Who is over it. Who is sovereign and control on it. Amen? And here's the deal. Creator God, infinite God, whose time it is, has given us a portion so that we can steward it. Let's think about our calendars again for just a second, Because I want to hammer this home. Man, it struck my heart so hard. And I want to be careful. I realize that this is going to hit a lot of us. It hits me. I'm not thinking of any one person in particularly. If anything, I'm speaking to my own heart. But in the thought of time, how do we build our calendars around our money and success? Work, for instance. Do we go to church as long as we don't have work? Or is our heart, I'm going to work as hard as I can, look as hard as I can, maybe even take a pay cut if I have to, so that I can get a job that allows me to be at church on the Sabbath, to worship with my church on the Sabbath. Do you see the difference in the heart? Too often, we say, I'll be there unless work. It's got to be the other way around in our heart. Think again, when we're talking about our calendar, when we're talking about our time, here's a big one, sports. Or our kids' sports. This hits me hard. I got 4 kids. I get it. I want my kids to be able to excel in what they're talented in, what the Lord's blessed them in, what the Lord has given them. And straight up, if they're not playing with the other kids, they're not growing with the other kids, are they going to get playing time? I feel the pressure. But church, when are we going to say sports calendar revolves around the church calendar versus the church calendar revolves around the sports calendar? When is it going to be clear in our homes that we're going to say, we'll be at sports when we don't have church, versus we'll be at church when we don't have sports? I know it hits hard. I want you to hear it. I struggle. I want my kid to have, who's working so hard, who's going out in the yard and kicking the ball, who's hitting the ball against the garage door, who is trying as hard as she can to get her serve, the other one who's trying as hard as they can to block their serve, to be able to play. I want that. I want them more to know my Savior. And I want them more to get the word right. So I have to struggle with this. And we're going to get to what we do when we're struggling with our time. Church, this word is for us. When we see, we make plans and we go to town and we feel, it's talking about our time, it's talking about our calendar. When we hear that our calendar is plugged in and made by us and we need to do it in the Lord's will, not our own, we need to understand that's pertinent right now. Whether we're talking about our work schedules, our sports schedules, let's hit one more. Why not? I've already made you all mad at me. How about retirement? How about retirement? You know how many times I've heard somebody say, I'll go on a mission trip. I just got to get to that place. Maybe it's retirement. Maybe it's, or man, when I retire, that's when I'll start serving. Man, I'll have so much more time. I've seen it so many times. Guess what? The second retirement comes, the grandkids take over, baby. The schedule's even worse. I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody who's retired say, I'm busier now than when I work 60 hours a week. Brother Rick was amazing when he was talking about the immediacy of how we need to act. He's amazing when he's sitting here talking about the fact that the time is now. We can't build our calendars looking to the future. We have got to consider what is filling our calendar, our will or the Lord's will. Does our time belong to us, or are we stewarding what belongs to the Lord? A steward is someone who manages someone else's belongings. In Matthew chapter 25, how much time do I got? Yeah, we got it. Okay, well, we're going to take it. Matthew 25, hang with me. I'm going to go. We're going to go quick. For us to really get stewardship, to get stewardship. stewarding our time. Let's talk about when Jesus talks about stewarding our time. He gives us an amazing parable in Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. It's the parable of the talents. A lot of us have heard it. When we start in verse 14, understand he's talking about the kingdom. He said, for it, so for the kingdom will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. So the kingdom of heaven, our kingdom, what we have with us, is like a man who is going on a journey and gives us some of his property. And you know the story. He gives money to different ones of his servants. He says, here's some talents here. Here's some, a lot of talents to you and a few talents to you and then one talent to you. And then he leaves. So he gives them all some money. And the two of the guys go and they invest the money. They realize, man, this is the master's money. I am going to make more of it because they know the master and they know the master wants them to do something with the money. And so they go and they make more of it. Then there's just the one guy who's like, oh man, the master kind of freaks me out a little bit. And so he buries the money, right? And then we get to this place where the master comes back and the money has grown. They've invested it. They've grown it. The master's happy with the first two guys. And then it gets to the last guy. And that's where we pick up in verse 24. He also, who had received the one talent, came forward. This is the last guy, had one talent, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you do not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew, he just said it, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and I gather where I have no seed. We know that God expects us to take his blessings and grow it for the kingdom. And when we don't, you wicked and slothful servant. You're saying, well, no, that's talking about money. That's not talking about time. You're talking about time, Patrick. Well, let's talk about what Paul says about stewardship. Man, Paul is the man. I love me some Paul. And Ephesians is my favorite book in the Bible just because it is. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, we see this. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. What did he just say there? I'm here for you Gentiles because God has stewarded his grace to me for you. The kingdom of God, God's blessing is ours as stewards given to us to do what? Grow the kingdom, the end. Grow the kingdom, the end. Yes. Too often we get it confused. Go back to the calendar. Go back. Let's just go back to my kids. My time is to make my kid a great soccer player. In priority, yes. Priority being growing the kingdom, bringing glory to God, growing his church, making disciples, using their talents for that, growing their talents for that, becoming a great soccer player for that, then yes. We have to know time doesn't belong to us. Time belongs to the Lord. We are to steward it. Let's jump back to verse 14. Our time is short. In verse 14, we see, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. A mist. Some translations say vapor. You've seen, man, you've been to the theme parks or wherever where right here it's super hot day and then there's this mist blowing out in like a kiosk line, right, to cool you off. And the second that mist stops, like it is what? 2.7 seconds before the relief is gone and you're hot again, right? Mist is gone. Vapor. Have you ever been driving on the road and you all of a sudden you just see this like smoke billow out of a car, right? Somebody's vaping, right? Good for you, bro, all right? They're vaping and the smoke just billows out of the car, but guess what? It's gone. Man, Psalm 144:4 says this, man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. A breath, a passing shadow. Do we pay attention to shadows much? No, because they're just gone. We don't really see them. Do you realize over and over and over again, for the sake of time, I can't really jump into it, over and over again, the Bible warns us, tells us, admonishes us, our life is that. Here's the deal. God doesn't need us. God didn't create us, even though some of the, you know, chords in truth or supposed truth tell us this. God doesn't need us. He didn't make us because he was lonely in heaven. That's not how it works. God, in his glorious, amazing awesomeness, created us out of love and said it was good. And in that, he had a plan to redeem us, knowing that we were going to be wretched and sinful. And in that entire amazing plan, he decided that for just a minute, for just a breath, for a mist, you were going to get to make a play. You were going to get to carry the football for that one play. You were going to get to advance the ball down the field for that one play. Not because he needed you. Man, the second he wants to win the game, it's over. But because he loves you and he thinks you're that important, you get the football. And so the question is, are we going to grab the football and then just run around the field and do whatever we want? Or are we going to advance it? Because we get one play and it's over like that. Verse 16 and 17. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Here's the idea. Understanding the truth about our time and doing nothing about it is sinful. Man, you were the kid in the math class. I was the kid in the math class. I could watch the teacher work the problem. Ooh, that makes sense. I agree. I get home. Then did I do it? First of all, did I do my homework or not? That's the question. But when I tried to do my homework, did I get it? Did I really work the problem? Did I understand it? Watching it worked, hearing it preached, agreeing with it preached is different than putting it into practice. Knowing it, how did Nate or Stanley put it? The Stanley preached on this two nights ago. Help me out, Stanley. Yeah, exactly. The information that we get is just information until what? It affects our heart and becomes transformation, right? Isn't it cool how James just keeps coming together? Here's the deal here. We see it again. If we sit and we don't do anything about our knowledge of time, we are arrogant. We're boastful. It is sinful. So again, let's close with this. Exactly what Brother Rick closed with. It's all tied together. It's exactly the same point, and it's this. Read with me in verse 7. So look back up, chapter 4, verse 7. We just had the idea. Brother Rick just gave us this huge idea about being humble. In verse 7, we see, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. Do you hear that? Humble yourself before the Lord and he will exalt you. Here's the deal. If this culminates in a big idea, it's this. Humble yourself now. The immediacy. Time. It's not ours. Remember, time is not ours. Time is the Lord's. So we need to steward it. Doing nothing is sinful. So what is the point? Humble ourselves now. Submit. Repent. Now, let's pray. Father God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your word. Lord, thank you for the intensity that is sometimes in your word. For the call that you've placed, for the chance to carry the ball forward to make kingdom impact. God, I pray that as we hear your word proclaimed, I know, Lord, in my heart, I've been convicted. I know that too often I make the time you've blessed me with about me and not about you. God, for Christians in here tonight, I pray that you would help us to humble ourselves now, to submit now. And Lord, for people in here tonight who don't know what it is to walk with you in repentance, who don't know what it is to turn from their sin and put their faith in you and be your adopted child, Lord, I pray you would call them. I pray that they would give their lives to you tonight. God, thank you for all that you are. It's in Christ Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Church, will you stand?
Thank you so much for joining us for this sermon, which took place during our 2020 Preaching Summit. We invite you to join us live every Sunday morning at 401 West Poplar Street in Elizabethtown.
We have life groups for all ages that begin at 9:15, and our worship service starts at 10:30. Please stop by our Welcome Center, and we'll be happy to help you get to the right place. For more information about our church, who we are, or to learn more about opportunities for worship, visit us online at crossroadsetown.com.
If you need someone to talk to or to pray with you, you can also find contact information about our elders, deacons, and staff. Any of us would love to hear from you and pray with you.
We pray that this sermon has blessed you the way that it has blessed us, and we look forward to meeting you soon. God bless you.